ready.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to convene the February 22nd, 2017 meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources. Welcome to everyone. Today is public testimony on the Department of Agriculture's budget, and more specifically, Senate Bills 5502 and Senate Bill 5503. I'm going to open a public hearing on those bills. We had checked with the public earlier, and we had a couple of gentlemen in the front row who've come considerable distance. Gentlemen, if we can get two of you up at a time, that'd be great. Welcome to our subcommittee. Please determine among yourselves the order of your testimony.
Go ahead. Be my guest.
And thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Chair Frederick and Witt, my name is John O'Keefe. I'm president of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. The Oregon Cattlemen is the voice of the cattle industry in Oregon. We represent over 2,000 ranchers in Oregon and grow beef and promote environmentally sound economic practices in producing beef products sold worldwide. Oregon has 13,000 cattle producers using 57% of the state's agricultural land and comprises 14% of Oregon's total agricultural sector. We've joined with other agricultural stakeholders in submitting our priorities in the Oregon Department of Ag budget and House Bill 5502. I'm here today to speak specifically about APHIS and Wildlife Service Program and funding for wildlife control. Oregon's agricultural producers bear a major cost in sustaining Oregon's wildlife populations, whether it is losing alfalfa to elk and mule deer or calves and sheep to wolves and cougars. Livestock producers interact with wildlife, face challenges, and have losses every day throughout our state. Our ranchers don't take these issues lightly and oftentimes are on the front lines of conserving Oregon's precious biological resources. In fact, this winter, which has proven to be a very tough winter on wildlife and livestock, we're hearing stories of ranchers that are allowing starving deer and elk to eat their hay and eat their pastures and access other food sources that are costing them real money. The sacrifices our ranchers make benefit all Oregonians and our natural resources. In return, we simply ask that Oregonians continue to support us when interactions with wildlife create challenges to our operations. The Wildlife Services Program is a key element of this support. Wildlife services provide technical assistance to producers in dealing with reducing depredation. The program allows tracking and resolution of wildlife conflicts. This is the type of expertise that producers may not possess themselves and allows for solutions that they cannot and are not authorized to carry out on their own, and therefore rely on Oregon Department of Ag and the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Partnership in carrying out wildlife service programs. Further, we understand that wildlife service says expands beyond the needs of ag producers to local governments and communities, which also face challenges when wildlife becomes a problem or a nuisance to families and homes. Today, we join with all those stakeholders and ask you to restore $464,200 to Wildlife Service's Predator Control Program in the ODA budget. These funds directly benefit Oregon's ag producers, our state wildlife, and can leverage additional federal dollars to help in these critical endeavors. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Durgan. I am from Baker City. I'm a member of the Baker County Wolf Depredation Compensation Committee. It takes me longer to say that than it did to drive from Baker today. I'm going to ask you to consider continuing to fund the ODA Wolf Grant Program. I'm going to make it very clear that I'm not advocating killing wolves today. In my mind, an acceptable solution to the issue of wolves in Oregon will never be found until the polarization that now exists is somehow mitigated. Compliance to the original Oregon Wolf Plan doesn't exist. The target number of wolves was met long ago. The subsequent mutually agreed upon plans for managing wolves has disappeared. This is a very real source of frustration to our cattlemen. Until we can find an acceptable plan for managing wolves, we need to help however possible these ranchers who are dealing with them every day. They, quite simply, cannot continue to sustain these losses year after year. They require our financial assistance right now. The ODA guidelines for compensation from direct losses is quite straightforward. A 4 to 7 year old cow has a value of somewhere between $1,200 and $1,400. A 500 to 600 pound calf, $800 to $900, and a bull, $3,000 to $5,000. Very conservative numbers. Indirect losses are much more involved, and at this time are specifically prohibited for compensation. They do, however, have a very real impact on our ranchers. Without compensation for direct losses and an understanding of indirect losses, we are going to have ranches in eastern Oregon who will not survive. Many of these ranches have provided a livelihood for the same families for decades. The economy of eastern Oregon has also been driven by livestock production for decades. I'd like to share with you real quickly one rancher's experience with wolves. I'll edit this a little bit. Wolves attacked and stampeded 250 head of very pregnant cows on a private land February 12, 2015. The cows were wintering on open brunch grass, receiving 1/2 feet of alfalfa hay. This 1,700-acre piece of land is about 10 miles northeast of Joseph. These cows were to be moved to a home ranch at the mouth of Crow Creek the last of February. With no warning from agency people, who normally warn producers of wolves in the area, the wolves attacked in night. The herd split into three groups. One group of about 70 cows went east, running in total panic, obliterating several barbed wire fences. These cows ran about 2 miles to the Zumwalt Road, then south and west about 5 miles down the OK Gulch Road to the Wallowa Valley, then north about 3 miles, then reversed and ran about 3 miles south where they were stopped. These cattle were wet from the condensation of cold air on their overheated bodies. Their tongues were out grasping for air. Another bunch went north through several fences to a neighboring ranch about 4 miles, then back, and were going in a large circle, still running when they were stopped. A third bunch stayed in the pasture, but were in a high state of panic. The cattle could not be fed for 2 days. They ran away from hay and the pickup trying to feed them. None were killed, broken legs or stifled joints, some cuts from barbed wire, not serious. We thought we were lucky. The rest of the story we feared would be told at calving time and maybe before. By the way, the attacking wolves that were in Wallowa County were from the Umatilla pack, and the next day were seen at Doug Bar, which is about 32 air miles from Enterprise. As I write this, on the 11th day of March 2015, 50 cows have calved. Our worst fears are coming true. One aborted a few days after the attack. Three were backwards, hind feet first, one upside down and backwards. The hind leg of this cow penetrated both the vaginal and rectal walls, one more upside down and backwards, one tail first, two with legs turned back, one with head turned back, several vaginal prolapses probably caused by improperly positioned cows. These are identified as indirect losses. This rancher had the exact same experience in 2016 and a month ago.
Sir, given the number of people that are going to testify today, I apologize, but could I have you wrap it up, please?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is a 700-mile trip, and I wasn't planning on making it quite this quick. We have a critical situation that is getting worse. If we don't help our ranchers right now, for many of them, it'll be too late. Before I left Baker yesterday, I'd hoped that I'd provided enough research to give you an actual idea of the critical nature of this situation. Thank you.
And I think you've succeeded in doing that. Is it Mr. Durham?
Durgan, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Questions or comments for these two folks briefly? Anyone? Mr. O'Keefe, do you have a ranch over by Adel?
That's correct.
I was over there earlier back in the fall, and I passed your ranch several times while I was bird hunting. You live, sir, in paradise.
Well, we like it, absolutely. Stop by next time you're in town.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Gentlemen, very good. Thank you so much. Sir, you traveled a good distance, too, and let's see here. Can I have, let's see, Dave Stone up, too, please?
I'll be right back.
My apologies if your two testimonies don't fit together, but I'm just trying to move the agenda here. So welcome to our committee, gentlemen. I'm going to try and limit testimony to 3 minutes. My apologies to everyone. I understand that you have come a long ways to tell us a story, but I'm just going to have to do it. And please bear with me. Please proceed.
My name is Todd Nash. I'm a county commissioner from Wallowa County. I'm also the Wolf Committee Chairman for the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. In 2011, I helped to negotiate the original compensation plan that we have here in Oregon. At that time, there was a funding per biennium of $200,000. And now we don't know what it is this year. We can't find it in the governor's proposed budget. Wolves have increased from, at that time, somewhere around 22 wolves, if I remember right, to, we predict, somewhere around 136. And not only are they just in Wallowa County, they're clear to Jackson County, so they're clear across the entire state. And what I would like to propose here, just real briefly, and something for you to think about, is as we move forward with populations increasing, not only in numbers, but in areas, to think about an index in which a county could receive money if they're populated by wolves, and then the population there within, so that we start to establish a number that we can agree on as what we would need to do non-lethal activities such as range riders and to compensate for those direct and indirect losses. So I'll wrap that up real quick, but I would like to try to establish a number over time. I don't expect it to be done here today, of course, but so that we could rely on that year in and year out and not at the governor's whim. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Todd, you and I and Senator Frederick have talked about this before. Appreciate your comments very much. Welcome to our committee.
Thank you very much. My name is Dave Stone. And Chair Frederick and Chair Witt and members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to provide testimony today in support of Senate Bill 5502. I am the director of the Food Innovation Center and also an associate professor in food science and technology at Oregon State University. And the Food Innovation Center is a joint venture between Oregon Department of Agriculture and OSU. Our mission is to provide technical, creative, and educational services to the food industry, to entrepreneurs, and to Northwest communities with a focus on sustainability, safety, and quality. As I mentioned, I'm here to provide public support and testimony in favor of Senate Bill 5502 to adequately fund the Oregon Department of Agriculture. The examples I'll provide on food safety and market access are just a limited snapshot of the important roles that ODA provides. Included with ODA's recommended budget is funding for staff to implement the expansive and new Food Safety Modernization Act, also known as FSMA. This law will have direct impacts on Oregon farmers and producers, particularly for small and mid-sized enterprises. ODA's food safety program is coordinating closely with OSU faculty to ensure that farmers and producers have adequate training, relevant educational materials, and sufficient clarity to address the requirements of this new law. The investment by ODA to provide additional staffing to address FSMA will help Oregon stay competitive and protect public health. My second example, in addition to food safety, is that the Food Innovation Center collaborates closely with ODA to promote agricultural commodities and food processing capabilities to new markets, both domestic and international. Next week, I'll be traveling to Japan with ODA trade managers to attend FoodX, a major international food and beverage event where we will showcase Oregon products as well as meet trade officials to highlight Oregon's agricultural bounty and food processing capabilities. At the local level, we work with ODA to assist clients across Oregon, ranging from startup entrepreneurs to well-established companies. We leverage our expertise in food science with ODA's technical services and regulatory authority to offer a unique incubator for value-added products sourced from Oregon farms. I hope I've shared compelling examples in support of Senate Bill 5502, and I thank you again for your time and the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you very, very much. Co-Chair Frederick, I apologize for being a little too quick the previous witnesses. Did you have?
No, I really appreciate you folks coming. We do need to find some way to make that balance and to live up to the agreements that we've had. I continue to be concerned about the loss, both direct and indirect, for the cattlemen over there. I also want to make it very clear as well that if I see or hear of anyone who's decided that this is gives us an excuse for trophy hunting, that's when I shut it down. That's when I start to get really upset about it. So that's part of the problem that I get concerned about. Make it very clear. I think you need to have the support of the state in making sure that the compensation is in fact accurate and appropriate. I'm not interested in what we've seen in Idaho and Washington State.
Can I speak to that for a second?
Mr. Nash.
Chair Witt, Chair Fredericks, what we've proposed to the cattlemen thus far and through our county is that when hunts take place, they take place on those that are known depredating packs. And so we have not suggested a trophy hunt at this time. And furthermore, when you look at what took place in Washington State, the two times that they took out two packs, the Wedge Pack and the other one I can't remember the name of, they took out seven wolves the first time in the Wedge Pack. It cost agencies $91,000 to take that pack out. The last one they took out nine wolves, cost them $120,000. We suggest that those that live in the area should have the right to get a tag and go hunt those at that time when they become a problem.
So let me put it another way. The first time someone decides to show off their trophy wolf, it's going to cost more than $100,000. It's going to cost the whole program. So be very careful about this. I understand what we need, and I think I support what you're trying to accomplish. But in my district, and for the significant portion of the people that I talk with, if there's any time when somebody decides to hold up, look at what I did, and it's a wolf, that's a political situation that will shut down a great deal. So let's be very clear that we need to do it a strategic system that is very fair and supportive. If you can come up with that, if we can come up with that, I think we can have support for the cattlemen and to dealing with the direct and the indirect, because I agree with you, the indirect has not been brought forward. So that's where I am. Let's see if we can work that out. Thank you.
Additional questions or comments? Gentlemen, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
like to call up next, please, Commissioner Pope and is it Farrar?
Farrar.
Farrar?
Can't read my writing. I'm left-handed.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Co-chairs Frederick and Witt, members of the committee, I'm Polk County Commissioner Craig Pope, and I'm here today to testimony in support of Senate Bill 5502, specific to restoring funding to wildlife services, so our USDA APHIS Wildlife Service Program. And I'm in support of this restoration of wildlife services funding that was cut from the governor's recommended budget. It is critical that the state remain an essential partner in the funding of this statewide need. I would like to refer you to the joint letter submitted today that you should have electronic copy of that has that is headed by a number of organizations, including Association of Oregon Counties. And it states in there, quote, wildlife services is a tremendous investment for the state, leveraging approximately 5-to-1 federal and county dollars to state dollars respectively. This investment can only continue with state support. And I would further state that counties cannot make up the difference of this funding whole. We strongly support this system and this partnership, but it takes all of us together to make that work. I would also emphasize that recent data shows that 26 of Oregon's 36 counties make this investment despite significant revenue shortfalls we have suffered over many years that we've been a critical partner in this service. Even when counties face revenue shortfalls that threaten public safety systems and local quality of life services, we continue to maintain our partnerships with wildlife services. So, for example, while Polk County has had to increase a countywide tax burden on its constituents through a local levy initiative to restore lost law enforcement and prosecution staff due to our failing timber revenue tax system, we have continued to maintain our partnership and funding share to wildlife services with approximately $73,000 over the past 5 years. We know this investment is critical for ranches, farms, timber producers, and citizens overall that will have no one else to call if we let this partnership fail. So I hope that you will support this partnership going forward and restore this funding. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
I'm going to change speeds on you a little bit here.
All right.
Thank you, guys, both of you, Senator Frederick and Co-Chair Witt. My name's Don Farrar. I work for Gillum County Weed Control. So I'm coming to you today to talk about the biological control program that we seem to not be funding the position, or at this moment it's looking like it may not be funded. It's very important to county weed programs, first of all, and second of all to the state in general. The biocontrol program, we usually use that on large infestations where we don't want to use herbicides, where we're going to cover 50,000 acres. They worked well for us. This program has been one of the best in the nation, and it would be sad to lose that. When Eric was here, he did a great job of getting the bios we needed at the time we needed them for the plants we needed. And we really need to fill that position. And I'd really like to see, in general, in the noxious weed program, let's just make it whole again, because we've been losing people at the state level. I just found out 2 weeks ago that we're losing county people. They're starting to drop off because there's just no funding available for them. That's all I got.
Thank you very, very much.
Any questions?
Questions or comments?
One quick question. What is the main noxious weed that you're dealing with over there?
Probably in my county, it's Dalmatian toadflax. It covers about 96 miles of the lower John Day River. The county to the south of me is a county that currently I don't believe they have anybody in weed control, which extends it about another 100 miles. And it's a similar problem there. Plus, the next county has leafy spurge, which is going to be devastating to us.
Thank you for coming, because we need to have that kind of information. appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Don, before you leave, you mentioned that we have one of the best weed control programs in the nation. And how do you arrive at that conclusion?
The biocontrol program.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, Eric, he went everywhere to get those bugs for us. They brought them from Germany. He knew he was dealing with weed people, first of all.
Uh-huh.
And so he taught us how to use them, where to put them, what they needed. I mean, it's not just taking these bugs out and dropping them on the ground. You need a specific site. And it was amazing the information we got from ODA to do that job correctly.
Well, as Co-Chair Frederick has already said, it is important for us to have the information that you brought to us. Thank you so much. And I just want you to know that I've spoken with Senator Frederick, and he and I are going to be working together to see if there's any possibilities here.
Okay. If I can help in any way, let me know.
Thank you. Yes,
can
sir.
I follow up?
Please do.
So just very quickly, I want to add great testimony. So I sit on the Oregon Weed Board, and though I had to focus my testimony today, I did more than a week ago at the Joint Ways and Means Committee, I did make my testimony with regard to the funding, the increased funding for weed control programs and that share to go to counties. So it's very difficult to fully understand how big a problem our noxious weeds are across the state, and including the aquatics, until you're actually on that board. I grew up as a farm boy, and I've been in agriculture my whole life, and I had no idea how serious this problem was for weeds in our state until I got on that weed board, and now it feels like aliens have come to visit. So we need to fund it.
Mr. Pope, pleasure to have a representative from one of the larger ag counties in our state. Thank you both very much for your statements. Call up now, please, Al Elkins and Dave Wiley. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you both.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Al Elkins with the Oregon Hunters Association. We are here today to talk about the Wildlife Services Program and ask you to restore its funding. In preparing this testimony, I talked to our conservation director on some points about the Wildlife Service Program, and I'd like to relate those to you. He said some species of wildlife have negative influences on other wildlife that are important to the citizens of our state for hunting, deer, elk, and antelope, and also to agricultural interests, such as you heard in earlier testimony. He said that the Wildlife Services provides services that keep predatory species at acceptable levels for deer and antelope and elk species. And also Wildlife Services takes animal damage away from already overburdened agency staff. And it provides a predictable element of human safety and pet safety management in zones where needed. That concludes my testimony. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you very, very much.
Chair Frederick, Chair Witt, Dave Wiley for the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. I've provided my testimony in writing.
Thank you.
But thanks for the opportunity to come before you to seek restoration of something like $400,000+ to the Oregon Department of Agriculture's budget for contracting with Wildlife Services. This program provides goes far beyond agriculture and forestry. It goes into rural communities and urban communities. And conflict between wildlife and human endeavor has to be addressed by law. This is the way that is done. The governor has seen fit to eliminate the funding, not only from the Department of Agriculture's budget, but a like amount from ODF&W. And the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation strongly recommends restoration of that funds for the benefit it provides to the state economy and to the citizens of the state. So with that, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation respectfully asks that you restore this funds to the department in its budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Subcommittee members? Dave, I know that you've, I've heard you testify a good many times on the subject. Would you prioritize, are you able to prioritize if we weren't able to get the full funding, if we could get as close as we could, what you would place as priorities? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but if you had any idea, I'd be interested.
No, I do not.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I'm not a hip shooter.
Okay. I appreciate that very much, and I apologize for putting you on the spot. Anyone else? Gentlemen, thank you very, very much. Next, please, Katie Fast and Roger Beyer.
Good afternoon. For the record, Katie Fast with Oregonians for Food and Shelter. However, today I am testifying on behalf of a coalition of agricultural groups, trying to condense our testimony and make it easier for you so you don't have to hear from every single one of us. But I would say in general, we are in support of Senate Bill 5502, but with some adjustments that I'll talk about. The Department of Agriculture has a unique dual mission of regulation and promotion of the agricultural industry, and it's one that they do quite well. It is also an agency that I think you've heard over the past 2 days that is very fiscally responsible. We pay as an industry quite a bit of fee dollars into certain programs and feel like the agency is a good steward of those funds. I would say generally our organizations generally oppose funding of new general fund allocations for new programs until base programs like these in the Department of Agriculture that service the agricultural industry and also protect resources are fully funded, and I'd like to highlight a few of those. First, you've heard a lot about the importance of the Predator Control Program and the services that it provides on the ground for folks. I would like to remind you that that services both the rural areas, but then also has urban components as well. They'll do hazing work on airports, do cougar control when they come into a city area. So a broad specter of services to those important programs. The noxious weed program, we are very concerned and oppose the elimination of the biological control position. And over the testimony yesterday, you heard that, these investments happen over time to bring in these biological agents to control weeds. And we're very concerned about a stopgap in that and what the long-term implications of not having that position funded are. We additionally support full funding of the Wolf Compensation Program and continuing it to the 2015-2017 biennial level funding of $130,000 to help these communities address with growing populations and increased terrain. Moving on to the confined animal feeding operation, the governor's proposed budget shifts that program $250,000 from general fund to fees. Yesterday, the department testified that would double the fees for those permit holders. Oregon has one of the most progressive programs in the nation, goes well beyond the federal standards. It's something that the industry supports, but it does have a joint cost, and that cost has been served by both the general fund and permit holders, and feel like the increase there would be a burden on dairy farmers, ranchers, and other permit holders. In regards to the fund shift with the Pesticide Analytical Response Center, PARC, that has been a program that the general fund component of it has been negotiated over time in different bills and different packages to fund that through general fund because of the nature of the broad public benefit that program and the investigative research it does the benefit of that to multiple folks. And so we would request that remains a general fund. piece and not shifted onto the pesticide program. And finally, we'd just like to share our support and the importance of fully funding the water quality program at the Department of Agriculture. That is a program where the industry has made a strong commitment for improving water quality, and the proposed cuts in the co-chairs' budgets, we fear, can move the program backwards instead of continuing to build upon our success. And I'm happy to answer questions after Mr. Beyer.
Thank you.
Thank you, co-chairs Witt and Frederick. My name is Roger Beyer. I'm here representing the Oregon Seed Council and the Oregon Blueberry Commission. So in addition to what Katie just mentioned, Oregon Seed Council is also signer on that document. I'd like to highlight two specific programs that are important to those industries. Start with, and they're both in the marketing division of the Department of Ag. First, you have the International Market Program they have, and Oregon blueberry producers continue to this day to be the only place in the world that can ship fresh blueberries into South Korea, and this is directly due to the work of the Department of Ag and the International Marketing Division. That's the kind of work they do. It's very important to all of our commodities, but there's a specific example of the work they've done. I believe it's been 4 years now that program has been in place, and we are still the only, not just the only state, but the only country in the world that South Korea allows fresh blueberries from is Oregon producers. So that's a key element, thanks to the Department of Ag Marketing Division. The other one I'd like to speak of is the Commodity Inspection Program. That's very important to our grass seed producers and others too, but our grass seed industry has grown from an export commodity of about 10% 10 years ago to more than 30% of our product is now exported, and we can't do that without the Commodity Inspection Program at the Department of Ag. The industry has recently asked the Director of Ag to hire a new person. They impose a elevated fee on themselves to pay for that person. That's how important that program is to them. So I just want to here to speak on behalf of that division of the Department of Ag. It's part general fund. It's a lot of user fees, but it's a combination that we can't live without. So with that, I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Thank you very, very much. Subcommittee members, if some of us have to rely on the experts here who are in the building on a regular basis, can I count on the two of you?
Anytime.
Absolutely.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sean Miller and Peggy Lynch, please. Good afternoon to both of you. Welcome.
Thank you, Co-Chair Witt, Co-Chair Frederick, members of the committee. Sean Miller, I'm here today on behalf of the Northwest Grocery Association, and just want to touch on an important program within the Department of Agriculture and the Food Safety Division. We do participate in their advisory committee. We have a longstanding relationship with the department in managing that fund, and I do want to compliment how they manage the Food Safety Division and what they do there and their mission, which they take very seriously to prevent foodborne illnesses through from the farm to the production all the way through the retailer onto the consumer. And so again, I think this goes back several years, starting in about 2005, where we restructured their fee structure along with General Fund to promote the program and keep it very solvent and keep them on that mission. And we've been very happy with the department and want to support the continued progress of that. I know there was a Secretary of State audit that you've heard of from the department end of last year, and we've been working with them not only to make sure they have adequate staff, but then making sure that keeps that fund in a place where we have an adequate ending balance, and that and again we're always concerned with the legislature fund sweeping the money that the payers pay in. And so in this particular division and the food safety division, obviously that would be a detriment to the consumers because food safety is a priority of the agency. And so I just want to point that out. I think, just here to support the agencies and their budget and their funding. And if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer with them at this time. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the committee. I'm Peggy Lynch with the League of Women Voters of Oregon. The League has strong positions relating to protecting agricultural lands, to assuring abundant clean water for all, assuring our public facilities are not damaged by invasive species, which would cost us millions, and that government has the responsibility for public safety. Former Director Koba reminded a 2015 legislative committee that we won't have enough agricultural land worldwide to feed the expected 9 billion world population by 2050. So the League works to preserve Oregon's valuable farmland, not only in the Willamette Valley, but all over Oregon. The agricultural land in eastern Oregon is as important to Oregon agriculture as is the Willamette Valley, southern Oregon, and the rest of Oregon. Oregonians can proudly point to the fact that we have saved lands that now supply the world with exceptional quality wines, for instance. And I just want to say that that's an important, so the land division of the Department of Ag is really important. Industrial agriculture is about 14% of Oregon's economy. It is the most stable of our industries with diversified crops and products that have weathered economic ups and downs. The Department of Ag is one of four agencies that have participated in the original Integrated Water Resources Strategy and is part of the current update. Water is critical to Oregon agriculture, but that water needs not only to be abundant, but of high quality. The League uses the key performance measures provided by the legislature to consider policies, regulations, enforcements, and funding considerations when commenting on budgets. We note that KPM number 12 is related to water quality, and it continues to underperform. There are two issues that we see. The program is voluntary, and financial support for the program is less than needed. We note the policy packages 310 and 330 were not included in the governor's budget, and the agricultural water quality program, funded by lottery dollars, is on the cuts list. A KPM cannot be met unless support is provided. We are also dismayed that Package 340, the Invasive Species Council funding, was not included in the governor's budget. Curbing invasive species is a very real economic issue for both the private business and for public entities. We support the work of the department related to food safety. Just like any other public safety program, the work is critical to Oregonians' health and well-being. We were invited to participate in this department's strategic planning process and look forward to the completion of that effort to assure that the agency's mission is continued to be fulfilled. League members enjoy the bounty provided by the wide variety of Oregon's commodities. We encourage the legislature to support the work of this agency and consider our comments as you develop the final budgets for all our natural resource agencies. Thank you. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very, very much.
Yeah.
Subcommittee members? It was great to have both of you here, and I think it's critically important that we have the support for the food safety program as well as water quality and a host of other issues. Peggy, if I might, I heard you speak rather eloquently the other day. How we maintain balance in managing our resources, and I think it was so important in light of Co-Chair Frederick's earlier admonishment that there is, in fact, a balance. We have to balance our management of wildlife and natural resources, and we have to make sure that at all times we find that balance that's politically acceptable. And only through that balance do we achieve and then maintain the public's permission to continue that management. And I am always appreciative of every hearing you attend and the issues that you bring up.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just want to say on the record that the League feels very strongly that we need more revenue this session. I'm just going to say that point blank. And we will continue to work with other members of this legislature to see if we can find mechanisms to do that. We are always looking for efficiencies. That's we want interagency cooperation, and you will hear that in our testimony. But unless we have more revenue, we will have the cuts that most of the people that you have heard today are not asking to have happen. And it's just very serious for Oregon. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Next, please. Stan Steele and Tom Wolf.
Because otherwise I'll fall asleep then when you speak.
Good afternoon, co-chairs, committee members. My name is Stan Steele. Live a little bit south of Corvallis. I'm here representing about 12,000 Oregonians who follow the Oregon Outdoor Council on key issues of wildlife management. And obviously, ODA is a very, very important participant in that management. We worked hard on the External Budget Advisory Committee process through ODFW to ensure that proper funds were there to enhance Oregon wolf management, nutria management, invasive species of all different sorts, and to recover the snowy plover. And to our dismay, those funds, when we got to see the budget, they were gone. Some would say that we're just here about deer and elk, but it's much larger than that. For the last few years, we've worked on this budget question with ODA and ODFW. How can we come up with secure funding that meets our basic needs? So I'm going to pose a question. We support ODA's budget. We do not support the removal of funds. Balance. Chair Witt just mentioned balance. Oftentimes there's quite a difference between political balance and scientific balance, reality balance. So what we're talking about is how do we get a balance that works for Oregonians and our wildlife, not just a political base. So in the 6 years of working on very hard, even being a chair of a statewide work group, here we are before you today with a budget that has zero funds in it for this critical issue. That's a political imbalance. So what we would ask for is for this committee, with guidance from the committee, to do this similar project as what they did on House Bill 2402, set up a task force that analyzes this critical issue, provides the leadership to where we can come up with secure funding that benefits Oregon's wildlife, our way of life, and human safety. It's critical for us to come up with that. Thank you.
Before you begin, Tom, you get another task force like that, you're going to make me join your retirees club, too.
He's already talked me into it.
I'm going to let Tom give you his rundown, and then hopefully someone will ask us why we need this.
Tom, welcome.
Yeah, how do I follow that? But I'll give it a good shot. For co-chairs Frederick, co-chairs with committee members, for the record, my name is Tom Wolf, here representing the 3,200 member, yada, yada, you heard that before. So we'll skip that part about what a great organization Trout Unlimited is.
The biggest in the nation.
Yes, that's biggest right. In the nation.
155,000.
Yeah, something like that. Well, gosh, I feel guilty. I should have donated to your political campaigns now. But I just want to share a couple things. About 7 years ago, I was asked to speak at a seminar to college students from all over and grad students from all over the country on what I consider the biggest watershed issue facing our country is. And I, interestingly enough, chose funding state and federal natural resource agencies. And I noticed they've never invited me back to speak at that seminar again. But anyway, it was great because I got to deal with a lot of really smart college young people who we talked about this issue. And I think, and sadly, it's not an issue I'm going to be able to face on the state level because I'm retiring, but I think that funding our natural resource agencies is a big issue. And as all of you sit here and go around listening to this and listening to what's been shared today about the Department of Ag, It's a big problem. Travel limit specific concerns, the Department of Ag is some things that have been mentioned, the biological control person, the noxious weed program being funded under lottery funds, the water quality programs that are being funded under lottery funds, staffing like that. And, of course, something that's near and dear to my heart is funding the Invasive Species Council. I've spent a lot of time trying to deal with that because I believe that one of the biggest issues that face the state, both the on aquatic level and on the terrestrial level that face farming, is invasive species. And we need to do a better job of that, and we need to fund our agencies better. And I believe sincerely that the Oregon Department of Ag needs to be that. Obviously, I'm asking a big ask of you. I'm going to be asking you to give more funding to all the agencies, and you're going to go, well, we can't do that, so we'll have to cut Tom's salary. And since I don't get paid anything, that's no problem. But the responsibility that you've been given on this Ways and Means Natural is a big one, because let's face it, natural resources is frankly given the short shift on a lot of funding issues. And I hope that as you face this issue this session and you think about it, I hope we can look possibly in the future at long-term solutions to how do we fund our agencies to do the jobs they need to do for conservation, for agriculture, for all the values that we hold dear as Oregonians. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Helm.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. And it's great to see you both, and Stan, you in particular. I haven't seen you in a while, so welcome back.
Thank you.
And this is probably a question for you, Stan, and that is, it's my understanding that we don't have, as a state, a management plan for our for those species that we consider to be predators. And I'd be happy to have your comments on that with respect to acknowledging that fact, if I'm correct, and then in view of that, the importance of continuing these programs at both agencies until we do get a management plan for our predators.
Co-Chairs, Representative Helm, fantastic question. Last time, through the House and the Senate, I think it passed through unanimously that we would have a plan directed at studying whether we needed a plan. Now, isn't that the way we do things? We study a plan, whether we need a plan, recognizing that science-based wildlife management always works off of a plan. It's the only way we can be adaptable. So without a program in place, does that really mean that we have situations where we're concerned about the way we harvest or manage wolves, what techniques we use to do that? Yes, those are always going to be the controversial questions. Oregon definitely has to have a plan. It'll help ODA. It'll help ODFW. It will better allocate our resources. Everyone knows the budget crunch Oregon's in, $1.8 billion. How do we get those funds to where we get the maximum use? It's only going to be on science-based management plans. So I was very disappointed in seeing ODFW's response to that bill last session. It was piecemeal. They weren't interested. They came back. They just touched the corners. We can do better. And this committee, I would urge this committee to demand that we do better so we don't have situations that are political in nature and not science-based. I hope that answered your question, Representative.
It helps. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The Senator Girard.
Thank you, Co-Chair Witt. Mr. Steele, you kind of smiled a little bit when we were talking about funding. And has secure funding been discussed in the last few years?
We have worked, Senator Girard, chairs, and committee members, this issue has been the issue that I have actually devoted the last 6 years of my time to. How do we get to science-based predator management? We have studied all states, every single state in the union. We have reviewed their program. We have worked with ODA, ODFW, and to come out of an external budget advisory committee with a reasonable, what we felt, allocation, and then to see it wiped free, gone, means that our work was meaningless. I mean, it was absolutely, nobody listens. And that's my plea to you. If we can't get folks to listen, These folks, whether they're cattle ranchers in eastern Oregon or sheep growers in southern Oregon, or blueberries that are losing their damage to beavers, are going to be here every session, every single session. So these are documents that I would love to provide each committee member. Wyoming has an incredible program. We're here to talk about wildlife services getting a little bit back. Do you just put a half a Band-Aid on something that needs to be healed? We understand your budget constraints, but the discussion has to be broadened. I would give anything as a Oregonian to see this committee request a task force set up, committee directed, to come up with solutions to this long-standing budgetary problem. There is not an Oregonian that I would not think would embrace that, to we're best using our tax dollars. Thank you.
Your love of resources, Stan, is palpable.
Chair Witt, committee members, I'm a native Oregonian, grew up on a fish hatchery, Lieberg fish hatchery, hunted fish, trapped, went into Oregon State Police Fish and Wildlife Enforcement, became a guide after that retirement. This is my DNA, and I'm not unusual. I am, as my wife...
You are unusual. Let's
my wife does say that. Senator Frederick, that's correct. But these are issues...
Would you call the roll on
thank
that,
you,
Mr.
Thank you, thank you. These are issues that...
Can I have a second?
These are issues that were before you on all the time. And the frustration in your rural communities is flowing over the top. It is absolutely overflowing. And here we are every time talking about how do we protect blueberries, ryegrass, invasive species, water quality. And Tom said it the best. We underfund our 13 or 14 natural resource agencies in Oregon.
Co-chair Frederick. Please.
Thank you. First of all, there's no question about the passion that you have about this. The concern that I have is making it clear that we really do need those resources.
Oh, we do.
And how do we get those resources? Because what I find is that there's an expectation that somehow we have a military budget we can pull from. We don't. We have to figure out how those resources are available in the state. And that's going to be part of something outside of this committee, but it's part of the discussion that's underway right now in this building, and it's important for us to look at, what kind of Oregon do we want to see happen, and what kind of resources, what do we need to do to get that Oregon? I put it another way: we've been asked by the community, by the people of the state of Oregon, to build a two-story building, but the resources we're getting are only enough wood for one story. So we have to figure out how we're going to find those resources and be effective, because it's not just the natural resources issues that we deal with in this building. It's also health and human services and housing and education. All of those things are part of this discussion as well. So I appreciate your passion. Let's make it clear that the resources are a key that we have to work on. Now, regarding the need for scientific-based issues. My background is in science, and I'm looking at that as well. How do we make sure that we're being effective with that as well? And I'm looking at whatever we can to be effective, especially in terms of how we deal with the predatory issues. But I have a particular interest in invasive species, and how we handle that. Let's see what we can do to make those things effective. Thank you for the passion that you have there.
Senator Frederick, and Chair Witt, and members, thank you very much. That's the insight that we're hoping that we start drawing on, tapping into our electeds, and hopefully that voice going both ways actually can come up with some solutions. I do think that, And I know there's people sitting behind me that are going to totally disagree with this, but this has to be a private, state, federal partnership. In other words, we all have to pay, all of us. If there's a benefit that we want to derive, we are all going to have to look at self incentivizing these programs. In other words, we have to pay. Hunters, I know, fishers, I know, are there for this program. It's been hard to budge others because they already say they are paying. There are benefits that can be received when we all come together and say there's a mutual outcome we wish to receive. I think we can get there.
You just repeated a phrase from the that I was just reading just a few couple of hours ago from Tom McCall.
Yes.
Where he was saying exactly that. We are all in this. All Oregonians are in this together, and we have to figure out how we're going to work together to make this effective. So truly appreciate it. Show, once again, the Oregon DNA shows up right again. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else? Before I dismiss the panel, Stan, always happy to hear people talk about scientific management. I hope it is always adaptive scientific management.
Correct.
And I would just comment that, again, looking for the balance, there is oftentimes a good deal of tension between the scientific management and the public's permission to manage.
Yeah. Well put.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much. I'd like to call up next, please. David, is it McGivern?
Correct.
Please, sir, and Justin Freeman. Welcome, gentlemen.
Co-chairs Frederick and Witt, for the record, my name is Justin Freeman. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Wine Growers Association. We're the only statewide trade association representing Oregon wineries and vineyards. I'll keep my comments extremely short. Our relationship with the Department of Agriculture has never been better. We are looking forward to continuing to build on that relationship with the new director. And there are two specific programs that are critical to our industry, the invasive pest programs and the pesticide lab. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Members of the committee here and chairs Frederick and Witt, thank you for having us here today. This is my name is David McGivern, president of Northwest Food Processors Association, and we have had a long-standing relationship as an industry with the Department of Agriculture. We take the fresh and raw agricultural products that are produced here in the state. We turn them into items that you can have year-round, such as a potato salad and products that contain tree fruit and nuts and vegetables, green beans, corn, just about everything you eat between two slices of bread, including the bread, as well as most beverages that you consume, not necessarily including the wine. We don't have them in our membership. That's why we have the wineries being represented here separately today. We are in full support of the budget that was submitted by the Department of Agriculture. We take our production needs very seriously. One of the very serious needs that we have in the community to keep them not only safe and protected, but is to ensure that we have great regulation when it comes to food safety practices. As an industry, we pride ourselves in promoting those food safety practices. And we also see the benefit of having the Department of Agriculture have the responsibility of inspections on behalf of the people of the state of Oregon, as well as contracting those inspections through the FDA as well, especially with the new regulations that have come out under the new Food Safety Modernization Act. It's created some new requirements that take both the industry and the science and the departments of agriculture to figure out how to come up with solutions. It's not easy taking raw agricultural products and making sure it's the most pristine item in the world, but I'd say that the folks in our industry in the state of Oregon do an incredible job. We're well recognized for it globally. That's why people overseas source the products here from Oregon. They know it's not only safe, but it's high nutritional value. It's also produced in a way that they see as favorable to the people in the community. With that, there's a couple items within the budget that say, other funded positions. And these other funded positions we are in strong support of because they will help the Department of Agriculture kind of catch up on some backlogs on inspections. It's not to mean that inspections haven't been done. So that you know, many of the folks in the food industry, they have third-party certifications that meet or exceed state and federal requirements in many cases. So they are subject to inspections by third parties. They're also subject to inspections by their customers as well throughout the supply chain. But we see it's important that the Department of Agriculture has the opportunity to adequately fund and make sure they have the people and the expertise needed to do that. And so we're in full support there. A couple other things that I'd like to quickly mention is we've recently worked with the Oregon Department of Agriculture, several other industry trade associations in Business Oregon in order to produce what we call a food and beverage roadmap for the state of Oregon that outlines several key priorities that we have as an industry in order to make sure we're economically successful. And would love to be able to share that with you at a later date, not here today with the limited time. The partnership with ODA and the Food Innovation Center, which you've heard from today from David Stone, the director, the Food Innovation Center is a critical component of being able to supply research to the industry. We'd like to make sure that the Department of Agriculture and the Food Innovation Center are able to sustain proper levels of understanding of the scientific needs for the industry to be successful through the Food Innovation Center. And finally, the work that the state veterinarian, Brad LeMaster, has done. He's done an incredible job for the industry here on behalf of the poultry industry. As many of you may be aware, there were some issues with avian influenza, mainly in the Midwest. We were able to protect our flocks here in the Northwest, specifically in Oregon, and maintain competitiveness there. And you would have seen that there was a rise in value in those particular agricultural products during that time. And the Department of Agriculture and the state veterinarian have been very critical in being able to coordinate that effectively. And then lastly, we have a new director, Alexis Taylor, and we're excited to work with her on these matters moving forward. And we've also heard from many of our industry peers that she's doing an incredible job given the short amount of time that she's had here with the new session taking place. And also, she's a quick study, and we are happy to have her aboard. And with that, I'm willing to take any questions.
Gentlemen, thank you very, very much. Any questions or comments? I just say that it is, I think it's so important that downstream associations come in support of the Department of Ag's programming. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, Jerry Nikolsku. I'm sorry in advance.
As long as you call me, I'll come to any.
All right. And Joe Rollator, please. And again, gentlemen, we're getting close to running out of time here. We've got a few more minutes, but if we can keep it down to 3 minutes, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Welcome. Co-chairs of the committee, my name is Jerry Nikolsku. I'm the executive director for the Oregon Association of Conservation Districts. And you've heard a lot of good testimony here, but I'm going to bring it to you from a little different aspect. I'm going to bring it to you from the directors of the soil and water conservation districts across the state, of which there's 287 of them. And in particular, I want to encourage your looking at the funding for the State Ag Water Quality Management Program and moving ahead with that. There's been a lot of work done in the last few years. There's a lot of momentum beginning to come to the fore in districts looking out at dealing with this problem. And to take that money away and that staffing away just as they're coming online and being able to provide a lot of help and things out there is going to be a blow. Those districts work with private landowners exclusively, and to get them geared up and get them looking at these issues down the road and to have this happen is going to make a big difference. It may take us a number of years to get that kind of impetus put back in place. I'd also say that by keeping this funding and the work in the water quality program, there is an important nexus with the federal programs that also supply money through districts into helping the state address these issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Joe, before you start, I'm going to be calling up in a moment, if they're still around, Angela Crowley Cook and Elizabeth Remley. If you're around or in the building or in one of the other rooms, we're going to have you're on deck. Joe, please.
Co-chairs Frederick and Witt. My name is Joe Rollator. I'm here today representing Seafood Oregon, which is the four ocean commodity commissions, the Albacore Commission, the Salmon Commission, the Trawl Commission, and the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission. Our four commodity commissions rely heavily on ODA to administer our commodity commissions. We use ODA as to help us with marketing. They help us with health testing, the recent domoic acid issues, and price negotiations with our processors. With the help of ODA, Oregon has more than a dozen marine sustainable certified fisheries on the ocean. An MSC designation is a pretty big deal. It is a third-party certification that says that our fisheries are being fished in a sustainable way based on good science to ensure that the fish we're fishing on are sustainable, but also that we protect the habitats those fish live in and the other things that live there, fish, wildlife, plants. The MSC designation gives us access to the European Union markets. And for instance, pink shrimp, when I was a young boy, we would be really lucky to get 20 or 25 cents a pound ex vessel value for shrimp. It's worth over 75 cents on many deliveries now. And that's a result of the fact that we not only got the fishery certified sustainably fished, but we changed the processing so that the unwanted chemicals were not in the product, and that the product was more healthy. So anyhow, we support Senate Bill 5502 and 5503, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, subcommittee members. Gentlemen, thank you both very, very much. And last on my list, Angela Crowley Cook and Elizabeth Remley, please. Welcome to our subcommittee. Sorry it's taken so long to get to you.
No problem. Thank you. Chair Witt, Co-Chair Frederick, members of the committee. My name is Angela Crowley Cook. I'm with Oregon Environmental Council. And we're very supportive of the work that the department does. We realize we're in a time of very tricky budgets and appreciate some of the creative thinking that they've done to try and keep all their vital services afloat. A couple things in particular, though, that we're concerned about. As we saw in the presentations for the past couple of days, the Agricultural Water Quality Program is an important priority for the governor and really for the state, for all of Oregonians. And so I was dismayed to see that on the cut list in several parts of the Agricultural Water Quality Program. I know we're in tight budget times, but that's a pretty important one, especially, as Peggy mentioned, we're not the department's not meeting their KPMs. So that's a big concern for us. The second issue I wanted to raise is another great program that the department and DEQ work on together, which is the Pesticide Stewardship Partnership. That's a voluntary program that works to reduce pesticide runoff in streams, and it's been really successful. Voluntary, I know everyone loves to avoid regulations, so this is a voluntary program, and in some cases has resulted in over 90% reduction in pesticide residues found in our streams. So I call that a successful program, and it'd be a real shame to see it cut this year. We feel it should be expanded. We hate to see that on the cut list. I'll just stop there. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Witt and Co-Chair Frederick and members of the committee, Elizabeth Remley here on behalf of the Oregon Association of Nurseries. To add to the long list of folks supporting the department and all the work that they do for Oregonians, the department is a great partner to the nursery industry when it comes to investigating pest and disease and issuing licenses to nurseries. They keep our they keep the nursery brand of Oregon clean and strong so that we can continue to do all of the exports to other states and other countries that we do that makes the nursery industry the second or first largest ag sector, depending on the year. It seems like we're in competition with the cattlemen this year. So we really appreciate everything they do. And I do want to draw your attention to the big Ag Industry Coalition letter that you received that Katie Fast presented to you earlier. The last two bullet points on there about the pesticide services under PARC, and then also the water quality programs. Those are incredibly important to us, and we want to make sure that they are funded accurately and appropriately. The department does a great job balancing between fees and general fund when it comes to funding some of these programs, and that balance is pretty important to us. So thanks.
Thank you very, very much. Anything for this panel? Ladies, thank you very much. Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to testify on Senate Bills 5502 or 5503 at this point? Going once, twice, last and final call, folks. I am going to close the public hearing on Senate Bills 5502 and 5503. For the good of the order, anyone? I just want to make a commentary here on something that we witnessed happen here today. And it's amazing that this happens with some regularity among the natural resource people. I don't think there's one of us in this room that needs another meeting. But I have heard a request, and I've heard several requests, not just here in testimony today, but several requests over the past number of days for a task force. I will tell you that I doubt we're going to get a task force. We might get something akin to that and close to it, maybe a work group, I don't know. Before we take one step forward, I'm going to talk with our co-chair, and we're going to discuss that together.
Sounds good.
And this is going to be a consideration of the request for us to do something. I am also going to visit with staff. I don't want to hear any place in this building that I have formed a task force or a work group. If I do, I am going to call your boss, and I am going to ask that you sit in the front seat so you can't lean up against the blackboard in the back and fall asleep. Every single meeting that we have, every budget, okay? This is exploratory, all right? Witt has not done anything. We are going to talk about what issues maybe that we want that such a group might look at, and if there is reasonable expectations. The worst thing we can do, folks, is to build public expectations over anything that we can't perform on. I will not be part of that. I will not let it happen. But to take a look at what you all have asked us to take a look at. I'm just trying to think if I've left anything out.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative.
Can I hypothetically sign up for your hypothetical work group?
Thank you very much. That's exactly... Thank you, Representative Helm. And I am going to always, you know... This is the government. Be careful of what you volunteer for or ask for. And Stan Steele's going to keep a list of people who might hypothetically want to be on a hypothetical whatever. Okay, so, Stan, we got a list of the people that testified here today. You can check whoever. If you are interested in possibly pursuing something, you're to go to Stan, leave your name, and a good way means of us contacting you. Representative Esquivel.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I was just wondering if it was improper for me to text this out to the Oregonian about you and the task force. I'm sorry, I may have made an error here.
Oh, boy, where do we go turkey hunting this spring?
In the rig.
Anything else to come before the subcommittee this afternoon? Thank you all very much. We stand adjourned.
Good job.
Thank you. Very much. We stand adjourned.
Good job. Thank you.